Well, as Gary mentioned, Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. We have adult class and children's class. It's a great time for all of us. And, you know, many of our children become Christians and accept Christ during Vacation Bible School. So we encourage you to come. And also, as was mentioned, the Harvest Crusade is next week. And there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex if you're going, if you want to carpool, if you want to sit together. There's two different times where we're leaving from the church. But if you want to go and you want to sit with us, you need to sign up so we can text you what section, what area of the stadium we're going to be sitting in. It's University of Phoenix Stadium, so it's a big stadium. You know, when our first child was born, Jennifer, when she was about 9 months old, we were invited to a wedding in Tempe. So my wife and I, you know, we're rushing Saturday morning to get the baby ready, and we're rushing out the door. And we get to the church and we're running a little late. And so we're like, oh man, we got to get in there right away. And so as we're going through the outer doors, the couple were coming out from the inner doors. The wedding was only like 5 minutes long. And so we almost collided into the bride and groom as we were going in. And talk about embarrassing. I mean, you can't just say, oh, we're just standing in the narthex, because we were coming in, as they were going out, we almost collided. It was embarrassing, and we missed the entire ceremony. We have never been on time since we had children. It's just a fact of life. And, you know, and we've been studying the parables of Christ, and as in the order that Jesus taught them. And in these later parables, Jesus keeps coming back to the theme of the wedding. The wedding celebration. The New Testament wedding celebration was the most celebrated social event in the village. Everyone is invited. It was a time of great joy and happiness. And Jesus uses the illustration of the wedding to picture the time when he returns for us, his church, his bride, the church, when Jesus returns for us to take us home. And when he takes us home to heaven, the most amazing celebration of all the universe, of all time, will begin and will last for an eternity. That is what heaven looks like, a celebration for all eternity. So let's look at Matthew 25, verse 1, as we study today's parable called the Parables of the Wise and Foolish Virgins, or the Wise and Foolish Bridesmaids. Verse 1, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. You know, Jewish wedding customs are a little different. They're kind of peculiar. In their circumstance, the bride doesn't know when the celebration and wedding's gonna actually occur. The bride doesn't know because the groom is the one that sets the tone. When the groom and the groomsmen come, that's when it's time to celebrate. You know, today it's the complete opposite. Today the bride is in command of the wedding and wedding celebration. In fact, when I do weddings today, I've been very fortunate. When I do weddings, now weddings are very stressful. They can be a time of conflict and strain. But every wedding I've done, we've never had any disagreement, no conflict, no arguments, because I follow a simple line of authority. The bride is number one. She gets what she wants. You know, there's no sense just even arguing or listening to anybody else. The bride's mother is number two. If the bride can't decide, then the bride's mother can decide, and she gets what she wants. The groom is like number seven. You know, he follows the DJ. We don't really care what he thinks. You know, he just needs to show up. And because I follow that, no problem. And that's a modern ceremony. But back then, the groom and groomsmen ran the show. And at the end of the engagement period, the wedding feast would occur, and the feast would begin when the groom and his groomsmen walked down the street to his bride's house, the father's house, to get the bride and the bridesmaids. And together with the bride and the groom and their attendants, they would parade through the streets at night in their wedding clothes to the wedding feast, and they would all be carrying torches. The procession would light the way with the torches to illuminate the pathway, but also to tell everyone that the feast is about to begin. Then we get to verse 8. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later, the others came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The point of this parable is simply that we do not know the day or the hour when Christ will come. Are you ready for Jesus, or will you be left out of heaven? See, Jesus says the greatest celebration of all eternity is about to begin, and I want you there. I want you there. In fact, I want you there so much that I died on the cross for your sins. I paid your sin debt. I rose from the dead to enable you to have eternal life. I want you there. Jesus says, I want you there, but you must be ready. And so as we look at this parable, we see several points. The first one is, be wise about your future. Be wise, not foolish. Five of them were foolish. Five of them were wise. If I were to lay out a timeline of your life, it would probably look like this. Is this a timeline where you're like, go to our next slide? You know, you start a little baby and you grow up, play soccer, you go to school, you get a job, you get a little older and get fatter like me and a little heavier. And then you get to old age at the end of your life, and the same with the ladies. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Well, it depends on where you are at on your timeline, right? If you're a kid with a backpack, you're thinking about going to high school. That's your next plan. That's far as you see. If you're in high school, you want to go to college, and that's your plan. That's where you want to be. I used to worry about paying for my kids' college education, and so that was my plan and my focus of my energy. Now my kids are all out of school. They're working, or they're mothers, and it's wonderful. I don't have to think about that. But now, because of where I'm like the guy in the blue jacket with a tie. Now I'm thinking about retirement. I think about retirement every day. And when I plan for retirement, I realize I don't have enough money for retirement. And so if any of you know an investment that pays 50% a year, let me know. I need some help. See, we plan for 1 year from now. We plan for 5 years from now, even 20 years from now. But how many of you are planning for 100 years from now? How many of you are planning, have a plan for 100 years from now? And you may ask me, hey, Pastor Terry, I'll be dead. Yeah, that's the point. What's your plan? What's your plan for when you are dead? Where will you be? And so if we look at this next slide, we see that 72% of Americans say they believe in heaven. And only 58% believe in hell. I'm not sure why that is. Because I don't think you can believe in one without the other. But most people have no plan for how they will get to heaven. Most people have no plan for how they will avoid hell. They just have wishful thinking, or they think it'll be this, or they will think it will be that. Well, Jesus told this parable to warn us to prepare for the future, to be wise and be prepared, and don't be foolish. First thing we need to see in our second point is we must watch and wait for Jesus. Verse 5 said the bridegroom was a long time in coming. They didn't know when he was coming with the groomsmen. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And that just shows you today, even the faithful, even the prudent bridesmaids who had oil, they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming, and they fell asleep. Today, those of us who are faithful in the Lord, we don't know when Jesus is coming. Jesus does not tell us when he is coming, exactly when he is coming, to test our faith and to strengthen our faith. I mean, after all, if you knew that Jesus sent a message, "I am coming in 6 months," What would you do? What would the world do? Well, I think I'll go to church for 6 months. You know, I think I'll stop swearing and using cuss words. You know, I think I'll start healing relationships and giving to charities and helping people. But that's not a sincere and saving faith. God wants us to believe in Jesus and to keep watching and expecting His return. We live in expectation of Jesus' return because we love Him, because we trust in Him, because we want to be with Him. So we do the things we do because of our love and commitment. So we do the work of the good and faithful servant. Every day we seek to know the Lord's will. Every day we seek to obey the Lord's will. But many of us think like this passage in Luke 21:34. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Dissipation means carousing, you know, bad behavior. And the day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Suddenly, Christ is here. We didn't expect it. Verse 35, war will come upon those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. We call this Judgment Day when Christ returns to judge us. Is your life just full of looking for the next fun time, the next party, the next drinking party or something like that? Is that what you live for? The next fun time, the next pleasure? Or maybe your life is full of worry and fear. You're not sure, so you worry about everything. If so, you won't be ready when Christ returns. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch out and pray so you don't fall into temptation and into sin. Watch and pray for opportunities to serve God and to further His kingdom. The church has known for over 2,000 years now that Jesus is coming again. Yet believers have become lethargic and drowsy. They no longer are excited and expecting the return of Christ. As a result, we don't share the gospel with people. As a result, we don't love people. We don't serve people in order to bring them to Christ. Jesus warns us to watch and be ready. Then we look at number three. It says, you are personally responsible to be ready. I think today one of the biggest things lacking in young people in our world today is the lack of personal responsibility. They think they're entitled. They want people to give stuff to them. They don't want to work hard. They are not responsible. We are personally responsible for our future, today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Let's go back to verse 8. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. So the groomsmen are here. The groom, they know they're coming. They got the warning sign. And every member of the procession is supposed to carry their own torch. And the torch could look like one of these two pictures. It's either an actual torch with a rag on a stick that's soaked in oil, or it's a personal lamp that has oil with a wick in it. And see, what happens is as they are waiting, their lamps are burning. And if it's a long time, it burns up all the oil. So the wise virgins, the wise bridesmaid had an extra reserve to get ready. And so when they find out they're coming, they need to put more oil on their torch or more oil in the lamp, and they can join the procession. When the bridegroom appeared, half of the bridesmaids did not have extra oil. They knew that they had burned up their oil. They needed more oil. So they asked the wise ones, give us some of your oil. Give us some. But they said, we don't have enough. You have to go buy your own. See, we can't at the last minute say, hey, you know, you help me get into heaven, or you help make me right, or let me get right with God right now. I want to catch up and catch up on being a good person. No, you're responsible for to be ready for Jesus. On Judgment Day, no one else can save you. Nothing else can save you. You can't hope to catch up on holiness. You can't hope to catch up on obedience. You can't hope to win a lottery ticket to heaven. You have to have already trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord. So Jesus tells this parable to remind us to get ready. See, if they didn't have the torch, if they didn't have their lamp, they would not be allowed to walk in that procession and to go to the celebration. It's like a bridesmaid who forgot her bouquet. It's just not right. It's a culturally no-no. And so let's go to our fourth point, which is there will be great disappointment. There will be great disappointment. Verse 10, but while they were away, they went to buy oil. The bridegroom arrived. Virgins who were really ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. Those who were ready went into the banquet and the door was shut. Later the others came, sir, sir. They said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth. I don't know who you are. Wouldn't that be horrible? You go to a party. You think you have an invitation. They go, we don't know who you are. Go away. That'd be embarrassing. That would be a great disappointment. By the time they returned with their oil and lit their lamps, the doors were already closed. They sought admission but were denied. No amount of pleading or begging would change the situation. Their lack of preparedness revealed their lack of faith. And so are you prepared for Jesus? Now you have to think about these last few parables that we've been studying. The individuals who were denied entry into the celebration were not evil people. You know, the parable of the talents, five got five talents, they went out and made five more. The one that got two talents went out and made two more. The one that got one talent stuck it in a hole and buried it. And when the master came back, he simply returned the talent. He did not commit an evil act like we think he would. You know, he didn't embezzle it, he didn't steal it, he didn't gamble it away. Their disobedience was neglect. They were denied entry because not because they did some horrific crime or they did some violent crime. Their sin was neglect. They neglected to be ready. The five bridesmaids who were foolish were not ready. They were not prepared. They were denied entry into the celebration. And what this means is delayed obedience is disobedience. If you delay to obey God, well, yeah, when I get time, when I get older, when the kids are growing up, when I have more money, I'll serve God. When I retire, I'll serve God. That is disobedience. And disobedience is always sin. And so this parable reminds us that those who neglect to seek God and put their faith in Jesus Christ will be denied entry into heaven. The consequences of your choice becomes permanent when Christ returns or when you die. Now Jesus in Scripture, it's amazing how many times he repeats the same message in the Gospels over and over again. You know, we know the story about the wheat and the tares, the different soils. Is your heart really receiving Christ or is it rejecting Christ? Are you the wheat or the tares that have to be harvested and separated? Jesus is saying, is your faith real? Do you really believe in me? Get ready now. Stay ready. Heaven and hell are real places. Now this was not a popular message in Jesus' time. It's not a popular message today to talk about hell, but as your pastor, I would be negligent. I would be irresponsible not to talk to you and warn you of the consequences. So we need to see in number five in our outline, be spiritually prepared for Jesus. Be wise. Everyone says they want to go to heaven, but few are spiritually ready. We must believe and receive in Christ as our Savior and Lord. Let's look at Ephesians 1:13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, having believed. You heard the truth, the gospel of salvation, you believed. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of glory. When we believe, when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, when we say, Jesus, I will follow you, when you say, Jesus, I do choose to believe in you and follow you all the way to heaven, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes into us and seals our salvation. It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We're not saved yet, but we're saved. We're not saved completely until Christ returns for us and gives us our glorified bodies. It's a powerful word because it says he guarantees. A seal, a Roman seal is title. It's proof that you have been saved. You know, many of you have bought property. Many of you have bought and sold cars. There's a title, right? The title identifies who the owner is. When we become Christians, when we're ready for Jesus to come back, it's because we are prepared, because the seal, the Holy Spirit in us guarantees that we belong to Jesus Christ. The Spirit enters your life, seals, and guarantees your salvation. So how do you know the Holy Spirit is in you right now? Well, there's two things. One, it's a promise. When we believe, when we have the life, and we have trusted in Christ as our Savior and Lord, God promises that the Holy Spirit is in us. But there's a second way we know we bear spiritual fruit. So let's look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, have crucified the sinful nation and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. See, when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit is in us, we will have good and godly desires. Love, joy, peace, patience. These will grow and manifest themselves in all aspects of our life. But if we're controlled by our sinful nature, we will provoke and be impatient with others. We will criticize and condemn each other. We will be consumed by our sinful and selfish and prideful desires. Those who are prepared will be living with Jesus and looking like Jesus every day, more and more. And so I ask you today, is Jesus in your heart? Are you spiritually prepared for heaven? And so we'll go to our next thought, our last thought, which is, does Jesus know who you are? Jesus know who you are? See, when the bridesmaids showed up and they banged on the door, they said, the man at the door says, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. The word know in the Bible means knowledge gained by experience. It's an intimate and personal knowledge by sharing life together. It's used to describe a husband knowing his wife intimately. And God, when He knows us, when we trusted and made a commitment to Him, He knows us because we live life with Him. Jesus knows us. He calls us His children. We're His family. Jesus calls us His friends because we have become His friends because of our commitment. Does Jesus know who you are? Just because we say we know Jesus, we think about Jesus, doesn't mean He knows us. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We do the will of the Father because of our commitment. And so I ask you, will you be banging on the doors of heaven saying, I am a good person? Jesus said, I don't know you. Will you bang on the doors of heaven saying, I grew up in church? Jesus will say, I don't know you. Will you bang on the doors of heaven saying, well, my parents are Christians? Jesus will say, I don't know you. And so the whole thrust of this parable is Jesus says, I want to know you. I want to know you as my children, as my friends. Jesus is a gate. Jesus is a doorkeeper. He is the one who judges who comes in and who does not. And so we see in John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The whole reason we were created was to know God and to know Him as our Father in heaven, to know Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And God created us so we can know Him. And even though we have sinned against Him, even though we have disobeyed Him, we're not criminals, but we're sinners. Christ died on the cross for our sins to pay our sin debt. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life so that we could know Him. Do you know Christ as your Savior and Lord? You need to be sure you do. Does God know that you belong to Him? What side of the door will you stand on? Will you be wise and be prepared for heaven, or will you be foolish and just take your chances? And so today I ask you, why not settle the question today? Why not make the wise choice and put your faith and commit your life and will to Christ's care and control today? Yes, you don't know everything about God. You don't know everything about Jesus, but you know enough that you can believe in Him. When you, those of you who are married, when you got married, you didn't know enough about your spouse. You learn and got to know each other after you make the commitment. And I'm encouraging you today, make the commitment to trust in Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And Father, we just thank You that Jesus warned us. Jesus kept telling us that we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the His return. And Jesus wants to take us home. His greatest desire is to take us home to heaven. Father, there's someone here who has not made that commitment to follow Jesus to heaven. I pray that You touch their heart. Help them to realize it's a step of faith. It's an act of faith. But we know enough that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead to put our commitment to You. Lord, I thank You for those who have followed You, those who have committed their lives to You. I pray, Lord, that we will live like today is the last day, that we may love and serve others and help them to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. So, Lord, we just open our hearts to You. Show us what we're supposed to do. Touch our heart about what commitment we need to make, whether it's to trust in Christ as our Savior and Lord today, and make a statement that we believe in You. Maybe it's just as Christians that we need to take seriously Your return, that we may serve You as good and faithful servants. So we worship and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song. If you're ready to put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is the day. Let's stand as we sing.